Well, good day to everyone out there. Welcome along to the Short Baller Rugby Pass podcast. Scotty and Mills with you for the next half hour or so as we talk all things code in this part of the world. Millsy, lots going on. The Rugby Championship returns. The All Blacks taking on Argentina. Historic test match in Nelson. The Springboks being hosted by the Wallabies in Australia. We're going to tell you about an amazing stat about that rivalry on the show today. Also going to talk some Mitre 10 Cup.
Yep.
And a few other issues around the game as well. South Africa in particular, Millsy, they want to take their toys and get out of the sandpit.
Issues.
They've got issues.
Have they?
Yeah, they've got issues.
They want to leave again.
Yeah, they're leaving in droves.
Gee.
It's the diaspora.
Is it that time of the year, is it?
It's that time of the year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, everyone's sort of getting around it. Well, let's get into the test match today on the Short Ball. Hello, producer Alice.
Hi.
G'day, mate. What's been happening in your world, producer Alice? The people want to know.
Oh, man, lots more animal stories.
What do you got for us?
I haven't saved any more ducks.
Right, last week you were rescuing ducks off the road in a selfless act of heroism.
Thank you. I went to the zoo.
What did you see?
I saw everything, mate. They have so many animals. You wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's a zoo. That's kind of what they do.
Yeah.
Did you have a favourite?
Well, we went to the feeding of the tiger.
Uh-huh.
So that was pretty, was pretty awesome.
What do they feed it?
It was like big steak thing.
Aren't they new ones? Aren't they new there? Or they've come back from somewhere?
The Lions have come back from Wellington.
It's the Lions.
Well, yeah. Why'd they just go for a weekend?
Yeah, yeah. Just went to visit. I don't know. I'm not a zookeeper.
You were at the zoo. I thought you might have this information now. People want to know.
Well, they can go to the zoo themselves.
Is the meerkat exhibition open again? Because the meerkats were missing last time I went to the zoo.
Yep.
The meerkats are there?
Underwhelming.
Were they?
To be honest. They were there, though.
They pop up when you walk past?
Yeah.
Just like on the movies.
It's better. The Christchurch, there's a Orana Park in Christchurch.
Orana Park, yeah.
You can like pop your head up into the meerkat enclosure. They have these little domes. Mm. And so the meerkats are just running around your head.
You used to be able to do that at Auckland Zoo.
Nah.
You can't do it anymore.
Nah.
Oh, you
still
you
got
could.
The tunnels.
Yeah.
You missed the tunnel.
You missed
the tunnel entrance.
Yeah. What were they feeding the tigers? Are they vegetarians or...?
Nah, absolutely not. They laid out these mats.
Hey, it's very popular to be vegan these days.
I'm a vegan.
No, vegetarian. Are you a vegetarian?
Yeah.
Right, Alice, that's enough out of you today on the podcast. Thanks very much. How long have you been a vegetarian for?
Probably 8 or 9 months.
It's all good.
Apparently, two signs of having a midlife crisis is turning vegetarian and also getting into a lot of... training. You've gone a lot of training, mate. So
Mills thinks you're going through a midlife crisis.
What are you trying to say?
I've just heard that on the news. That's all I'm saying, mate.
The two signs of midlife crisis are going
common signs.
Two common signs are going vegetarian and
athletic exercise
and exercise
like extreme.
Like what?
No, this I don't know. I just heard it on the radio.
Heaps of running and stuff.
Marathons.
Well, you've got no risk of me turning vegetarian, so so we're okay there. I'm sure
there's nothing wrong with vegetarians.
Actually, they're anemic.
Sorry.
Look at your pella. You need some iron. You look iron deficient, Alice.
I take iron tablets.
I know. I mean, you look great. Don't get me wrong, but I can sense that there's a shortage of iron in your diet. Alice will pop in from time to time during the Short Ball today. We're going to talk about the All Blacks Festival. What a great occasion for Nelson.
Oh, awesome, isn't it?
The Sunshine Capital. We were talking to a friend of the show, Wyatt Crockett, earlier, now the purveyor of sporting goods in Nelson through the Sterling Sports Shop. And he was saying he just caught up and had a cup of tea with a few of the All Blacks boys who were enjoying their time in Nelson. How wonderful.
It is, isn't it? I mean, and imagine what the people of Nelson are up to at the moment, just having the All Blacks.
What are they up to?
That's a question
I ask a lot too.
Having the All Blacks in town. And it's just great that they've taken this game there and looking forward to it on Saturday night there, Sumo.
You'll be there. I'll be there. A great occasion for the city, but also a massive challenge for Argentina. Let's get the elephants in the room out of the way. Surely the All Blacks are making big changes this week because they will see this as their one chance to in this championship.
Yeah, I think so. I perhaps giving a few guys a bit of a run. They have two massive games in terms of the Bledisloe over there in Sydney, and also obviously the game here that they played was absolutely sensational. And I think the coaches will be wanting to get guys out there and get them a taste of test footy. They've been in the environment for a long time, so perhaps get an opportunity now to showcase what they're all about.
Well, as always, every newspaper report has named about two or three different names that are maybe going to, could possibly, just might get a chance. But let's start with the big name, Richie Mwanga. A lot of people have called for Richie to get a start pre the start of the Rugby Championship. Bowden Barrett certainly did what he did. surely this is it, though. This is the one time. Bowden Barrett has proved to everyone once again how good he is. If you're going to rest anyone, give your first five a break, because for me, Richie Mwanga either starts a game or he doesn't play because he doesn't have the utility value that someone like Damien McKenzie has. Right. So a little bit stiff on Damien McKenzie if this eventuates, of course, but Mwanga's only position in the team as it stands is as a starting first five.
Yeah, and I think building sort of that depth as well, getting him out there. So I definitely see the coaches perhaps giving him a shot this week. Yes, Bowden, I mean, a lot was talked about his form going into the Bledisloe, but he certainly, showed everyone what he was all about. And a lot of credit has to go to the coaches as well, because I've always sort of said that, giving him a chance. There was lots of calls for Mwanga to get an opportunity. Well, now that Bowden's stamped that authority, the fact that he is, probably the best player in the world, Mwanga gets a chance now to, if he gets picked, selected, to show what the environment's all about and whether he can, take the next step. He's certainly in Super Rugby, has been outstanding.
Yep.
Now it's an opportunity for him to sort of take that next step up and possibly, I'm looking forward, if he does get an opportunity, to see how he sort of controls the game, we all know how brilliant he is with ball in hand, but how he controls his forwards and connects with his halfback.
They've got to have some stability in that back line. So do they stick with a guy like Geordie Barrett at fullback or leave Ben Smith in the mix somewhere in that back three?
I'd like to see Geordie back out there. I think it's similar to his brother, really. They're kind of like didn't have, in terms of, I suppose, their form sort of fluctuated up and down. But it's a great opportunity if they did give him a shot at fullback. I'd like to see him out there and just get sort of some of that confidence back. In my opinion, I think he's long term. I think he could be a centre. I think he's got a really nice skill set to suit that centre position. I just do. I just think he has. And
I think he sees himself there too.
Oh, does he?
Well, I think so.
When
he first started playing provincial rugby with Canterbury, he was playing 12.
Yeah, he was a 12. That's right. Yeah, and so I think getting him back out there, he's been in the environment, and then the environment. What people don't realise, the environment actually gives you that confidence. You go in there, everything's set on the fact that you do your own job. You've got guys around you, the best in New Zealand, if not the world, and you just concentrate on that, and then you go out there and just play. So to be able to get that freedom and get him out there and build that confidence, he's probably got that now that he's been in the environment, but get that confidence back in the playing ability, I'd like to see him back out there again.
Well, I just think too with Geordie Barrett, he obviously had the first week off, and for whatever reason, whether the All Blacks just wanted to see him buckle down and just get on with doing what he does best, but certainly proved his worth in the second test at Eden Park, and he's the sort of player of the next tier down, and I don't mean from a quality point of view, I just mean from an experience point of view. You'd be wanting to give him every chance you could to just keep proving that he's learning and adapting and changing and getting better at his core roles in the game. So surely he stays in the mixer for sure. What about a halfback? Do you give a guy like Aaron Smith a breather this week and maybe bring in your TJ Perenaras and your Te Toro Tahuri Rangis to have some game time, because Triple T hasn't had any game time at all.
No, Te Toro hasn't. I'd love to see him get his first cap. I mean, the coaches will probably see that long term, making sure he's going to need something, especially leading into next year and getting that sort of depth in the squad. Perenaras has been fantastic. He came off the bench, and that role that he's had of coming off the bench and certainly injecting that energy has been massive. So perhaps giving him an opportunity. I mean, this is no disrespect to the Pumas as well. If they do make massive changes, I just think it's a great opportunity now for the All Blacks to continue and build that depth. And they've already got it, to give those guys also a reward. Because, for a long time, the last month or so, they've been holding hit shields and and planning things. And it's often the stuff off the field, you know, meeting up. And sometimes you don't feel a part of that because you don't feel that, you know, you're actually going out there and physically implementing some of the stuff that you've talked about in your little wee groups. But now it's an opportunity to say, well, you've done all that hard work. You know, now it's your turn to be able to go out there and do the same thing.
Go and own it. Well, there's bound to be some changes in the pack as well. We've talked about a couple in the back line and there's some big names there who need to have a run around and a couple of younger names that I know that Shannon Frizzell's name has been mentioned in a couple of reports. Really? This could be a chance for him to have some good test time, possibly at six, where I think they see him as a long-term prospect. Remember, Scott Barrett was covering six in the first two tests.
That's right.
So maybe they want to see a different starter there if maybe Liam Squire's on the bench, maybe he's not playing. But it'll be interesting to see what they do. And there's going to be a change in the front row as well because there's no Joe Moody. So, you know, I guess you look at Big KT and think, well, this is a big chance for him to come into the side too. I want to touch on your point about depth and you know how much I love my numbers, Millsy. I was going through the substitutions in the second tests of the Rugby Championship, the Argentinian-South African test and the All Blacks-Australia test. And take out the scoreline and the context of the game for a second, but just as a philosophical issue to discuss, you know, the All Blacks started making changes in the 50th minute of the game.
Yep.
And by the 56th minute, their entire front row had been subbed out of the game. Argentina didn't start making changes until the 57th minute. So there were five All Black subs on the field before Argentina had made one change. Agustin Crevy, your hooker, went 77 minutes in that game. And then I went through the list, and of all the players who have played in the first two tests of the Rugby Championship, seven All Blacks have now played a total of 130 or more minutes. 13 Argentinians have. Those are big minutes. And I remember writing for the spin-off in the World Cup in 2015 during the All Blacks-Argentinian game because I noted that the Argentinians were making their changes late then. And I think they've kept that philosophy around their bench. And the reason I can only surmise is they don't trust their bench.
No.
Now, the thing that gets me about the way the All Blacks play the game is that they can make all their changes between the 52nd and 64th minute.
Mm.
That's actually a lot of game time for your pint compared to other teams.
Yeah.
But what it does, especially if you're in the front row, it was 10 minutes between when the All Black front row had changed. In fact, 20. And then Argentina had their complete substitute front row on. That's a lot of scrums. And you ask any front rower, it takes a couple of scrums to get into the rhythm of the game, to understand the plyometric load, to understand what's going on. So you're all primed and ready when Argentina are making their bench changes, and you're going to mince them. The scrum's not the greatest anyway. And they're all talking up their line out. Agustin Crevy's throw rate is 78%.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, give me a break. That's not improvement. So I wonder if this is intentional with the All Blacks to make their changes earlier and then take advantage of a fatigued team. But they can only do it because they trust all of their players.
Yeah. I mean, what a luxury, isn't it? I mean, to be able to do that. But you've seen it in the past. And also, this is why having depth and having quality players and experience out there is crucial. You remember that the French test when they subbed off Owen Franks. There was nothing wrong with him. They just thought he wasn't, he wasn't going very well. But you put someone else on, and boom, they're away. And when you're talking about those numbers, what 50th minute when they start substituting guys in? And so if you look at the last two games, that forward pack have basically shared the load.
That's
You're talking. They've almost played. Well, they've played over half a game.
Yeah,
right. And
That's it. And then you go look at the output from the bench last weekend. Argentina's bench pretty much five of the eight ran for 0 meters.
Oh, gee.
And then you look at the All Black bench and their offensive output. Every player contributed in carries and meters. So that to me sees either you've left it too late for them to get in the game.
Yeah.
Or by the time they got in the game, they can't keep a pace, so they're not in the game. They're not involved.
And this is where the game's just changed. And I think, you know, you're so used to guys coming on to make an impact. Nowadays, it's too late because you don't want to be guessing whether you're going to get that momentum swing. You want to be having guys on there that are ready to go right from the very beginning. And if Argentina are bringing guys on when the All Blacks have already got their bench on and mincing them already
and
set them already. I mean, how scary is that? And this is why it's a complete 80-minute game because you're trying to win moments every single time. And if you're Argentina and you're trying to bring guys on to that you don't trust to try and do something special, it's too late. Too late because the game's already gone.
Their big chance is the first half. They're a first half team.
Yeah.
They're going to come out with a hiss and a roar and try and take down some of the inexperienced All Blacks in the side, and they have to. But in order to do that, they've got to put their most experienced guys on the park and play them as deep into the game as they possibly can.
Mm.
So therefore, you get into the same situation again, the same cycle, whereas the All Blacks, if they are to make as many changes as we suspect, they're going to have an awful lot of experience on the bench to come and mop up the mess if there's one to clean up.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can't win it either side of that equation for the Pumas.
No, and the other thing, when I looked at it and I thought, okay, if there's any opportunities that the RGs can actually try and sort of put pressure on the All Blacks, I thought the line out until I looked at Creevy's percentage. Mm. The scrum, which were been so good for a number of years, have sort of gone off the rails here a little bit. And then you looked at that factor there. I mean, the All Blacks against the Wallabies, they just try to speed the game out from zero to the 80th minute, and they were just constant. And so if they take that same mentality into this game and all the Argentinians, experienced players start to fatigue, it could be a very long night. And to be fair, if you go back to that Wallabies test in Eden Park, you know, the Wallabies did a pretty good job in that, particularly in that first 10 or so minutes, to sort of try and slow things down a bit. You know, Hooper got over the ball, they slowed it right down to, and it was I think it was like 5 or so minutes before the halftime break, where they'd literally try to change the momentum of it and bring the game and slow it right down. But then the All Blacks just peaked and went
again.
This
is the Sydney test, the first test?
No, this is the Eden Auckland Park test. Yeah. And so it was just, I just fear that, I know the changes will perhaps come for the All Blacks, but if they are playing an up-tempo game, man, this could be a long night for the RGs.
That's what I think as well. Speaking of long nights, here's an incredible stat for you, Millsy. In the Rugby Championship, 47 games have been played between Australia and South Africa. Australia's won 22. South Africa's won 22, and there's been 3 draws. At home, Australia have won 18 and South Africa have won 4. That is a massive disparity between the overall record of those two teams.
You mean South Africa won 4 at home?
No, in
Australia. Wow.
So this game's at Suncorp and South Africa have only won 4 times in the Rugby Championship in Australia.
Oh, wow.
I was staggered reading that.
I did not realise that.
Those are two teams that do not travel well.
No. Far out.
South Africa's already lost on the road once. Now they've got to bounce back a couple of weeks later and go to Brisbane in a country where they don't perform well, full stop. This is a challenge. To me, Foley's job is really simple against the Springboks. Kick them into their own 22 and keep them there.
Yeah.
Because they ran a shit ton of ball against Argentina, but they had no field position.
Mm.
In 2015, the All Blacks in the semi-final of the Rugby World Cup kicked the ball into their 22 and said, go on. Try and score from 80. And they did it for 80 minutes. And Australia just have to do this. Australia have to put all their thoughts of attacking mindset and carries and offloads and clever balls away and say, we'll just play the percentages against you. Yep. There is one South African team I know who can score from depth, and that's the Lions. This ain't the Lions. This is the Springboks. And as much as they're trying to be open, ball-running team, their leading carrier and meter earner this season in the Rugby Championship is their loose forward, Sia Khaleesi.
Oh, is he?
Now, you talk all you like about the Villarouz. You can talk all you like about the flair you've got with Gianchi and Estazen and all the rest of it. Sia Khaleesi's still running more metres than you.
Damn.
Which shows to me that there's still a limited game plan that they want to implement. Mm. So the way to negate that is just to keep them pinned down in their own half.
Yeah. And the Wallabies have got the personnel to be able to do that, haven't they?
100%.
And it's actually probably a good chance for them to get that right, because that was what was talked about that perhaps I'd bring to the two Bledisloe Cup games. You know, the use of Beale being able to nudge the corners. They did that a little bit in the Auckland test here. They started off like that, but they sort of went away from it. And they've got a lot of kicking ability, you know, with Beale, with Guinea, with Foley in there as well. Even Hodge can kick as well. He's got a massive boot on him. And so it could be a good chance for the Wallabies to go, okay, well, let's try and, you know, this works right into our hands. We'll get them down there and see if they can go 80. But it also is a chance for us to implement our kicking game and find space and things like that too.
Well, also to implement their kick return game. Mm. South Africa want to return fire with fire. I would suggest to you that Australia's counterattack from depth is going to be the equal of South Africa's, if not greater. So that gives them their chance. They just have to play the percentages for me,
yeah,
because they have to start winning.
Yeah,
you can say what you like, that Rugby Australia's come out, supported Michael Checker, that his team supports him, that he's doing all the right things, whatever, but you can't keep losing. He's won one test all year.
Yeah.
They go down again to South Africa, that starts to be an untenable situation for a proud country like that.
Yeah, and I can't see them going down at home. And this is, I mean, I don't want to keep harping on about the All Blacks, but this is why they're so good. You don't go over to Argentina and lose after relatively convincing win in your own backyard. You don't, you know, fly over to South Africa and lose. The whole mentality. Imagine what it'd be like here in New Zealand. Gee, if you lost over there, oh wow, stuff that. I mean, they've been close. There've been a few times where the Argentinians have almost pipped us.
That's
but,
right.
You know, and so you're right. The Wallabies. They need. I want them to win. I think.
You do?
No, I want them. I want them to win in terms of the whole, you know, rivalry between, you know, us and them and everything else. I would have liked to see it a little bit closer, but I just can't. This All Blacks side, it's to me, in my opinion, it would have to be one of the best sides I've seen.
It's pretty good. It's pretty well oiled. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, I think a lot of credit for that can go down to the way our Super Rugby coaches are coaching these players.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the detail they're putting into the game and the squads that they're choosing, their ability to implement game plans week in, week out. And they're all slightly different. Yes, I know everyone talks about paddling the waka in the same direction. But, you know, every one of our coaches brings something a little bit different to the table. And that, I think that's crucial for the All Blacks' success, because then they get a lot of different ideas, strategies and tactics in one place with the best of the bunch. Mm. They become adaptable as players. They see different pictures and they can bring that to the table when it comes to putting game plans together.
Yeah, well, they have them for the majority of the year, isn't it? And then once the All Blacks have seen what and selected their players, they basically get the cream. And it is, you know, you don't often hear... And the All Black coaches would commend them on what they've done, and they know certainly the Super Rugby coaches have contributed a lot into the skill set of a lot of these players that have come into it. But it is, you know, the way they've gotten guys to read certain things, implement, you know, their different game plans, and also share. I think there's been over the years, you know, guys come from different franchises and also shared their knowledge, and you know the All Black coaches have sort of taken it. And taking it or not taking it on board, but I think that's why the quality in New Zealand rugby is so good, because everyone is, I suppose, some days, well,
on
majority
the
of the days,
page.
You know, on the same page and rowing that waka, right?
That's good, man. You expect you'll get your payment from NZR talking like that. And now, listen, speaking of South Africa, I see that they want to take their tours and go.
Dang.
More teams for the Pro 14. What do you make of this? I mean, I know South Africa needs to find a home for their players in order to keep them, but are we seeing the biggest change in Southern Hemisphere rugby since the introduction of Super Rugby here? Is it a creeping capriciousness with South Africa in terms of we just want the bigger payday, the bigger market, and we want it all to be a bit easier, we're off? Because I don't know, Millsy, whether this is the best thing for South African rugby,
no.
But what I do know is it's not the best thing for Southern Hemisphere rugby.
No, it definitely wouldn't be for Southern Hemisphere rugby. I don't know, every year we kind of hear this. And you know, I think in the next couple of years, I hope they don't leave. In the next couple of years, if they keep harping on like this, it could be an opportunity for them to say, well, okay, then go. Because look what's happened in Argentina. Look at how far the Jaguares have come on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay, the Asian-based team, the Sunwolves, you know, they're getting there. They're getting a few wins here.
Who doesn't love the Moondogs? I love the Moondogs.
Exactly.
I could watch the Moondogs lose by 70 every week, but I'd still love watching them.
Exactly. But if we can sort, you know, Argentina have come a long, long way. If we can get that side of it, we perhaps could have a very, very good competition in the next 5 or so years, right?
Do you know, I'm going to get militant for a second. I'm not suggesting this is going to happen or it should happen. I'm just going to throw a hypothesis out there. South Africa, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Off you go. Mm. Pacific Islands, come on down.
Well, yes.
Japan, we're talking about Japan now as the saving grace for New Zealand, be able to keep their players, because we're going to use Japan rugby as a way to boost their salaries. And I stress the word use. So, hey, Japan, We'll give you some resources in return. We'll make you a competitive team. Australia, get your shit together. Let's go. You're with us.
Yeah.
Argentina, keep doing what you're doing. Jaguares, playoffs last year. We'll keep building you up. Do you know what? America, West Coast, have a think about it. Let's think about how we can implement you. Hey, guys, welcome back to Pacific Rim Rugby. We're into it. South Africa, bye-bye. Enjoy the North. Enjoy going to Putney and seeing all your mates. And we'll catch you later. Because, I'm sorry, you can't fight a war against Sanzar when you're a member of Sanzar through the press constantly through threat
exactly
of departure.
Yeah.
Make your mind up. If you want to go, go. We'll focus all of our attention on this site around the Pacific. Mm-hmm. The Pacific Islands will be wrapped. They'll have a team involved. Argentina will be wrapped. They'll have a team involved. American rugby will be thinking, you know what? This could work for us as well. Hey, base a team in Hawaii. Who wouldn't want to go on that gig?
Oh, yeah.
Who wouldn't want to go
and
on that
gig? Have a final. Have a final there.
Whatever, man. I don't care. Make it the pineapple bowl. We're into it.
I like this, mate.
Okay. Well, all I'm saying to you is that if you're in a relationship that is based around threats, it's a shit relationship. So stop it. Cut it out. Get on. Either there is a way through for this competition. I get it. South Africa is struggling financially. But they have been the powerhouse. They have been the ones who have stood up from the moment Sanzar became a thing and said, hey, we want the rules to suit us because we bring in the most eyeballs. We bring in the most broadcast cash. We do this. We do that. When we go play the Sunwolves, we want to play them in Singapore because there's no direct flights. I understand all of that thing. But, you know, come on. This competition has bent and swayed to suit. Hey, we want home quarterfinals regardless of table position. Sure thing, you got that. And then what do we get in return as fans, as observers of the game? We get, oh, you know, we might just go. We might put two more teams in the Pro 14. I mean, they'll take you. Sure, no worries. Go. Go. Rant over.
Get out of here, man.
Just saying. We have been beating on about having a Pacific Islands team in this competition.
Yeah.
There's a reason we don't have one currently is because there's no room for them. I can make room. One more team going out of South Africa. Bonus.
I like what you're saying. I like what you're saying, Sumo. Who's going to fund it?
We'll find a way.
Okay.
Frank and Bainimarama. Come on down. Actually, he owns a country. Mate. He's fine. He's got great ties to China.
Yeah.
China. Could have a team.
China?
Why not? China.
No.
Why not, Milton?
Well, they got a sevens team.
Are you anti
China? They got a sevens team.
They got a sevens team. Okay, I'm going to calm down now. Sorry, Alice, you're right.
Yeah, I'm good. That was quite entertaining.
I'm fired up. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Mm.
It just gets me down. I thought we were all in this together, but there's no togetherness. So it's just a front. So if it's all about cash, go and take your cash. Don't worry about the sanctity of the Southern Hemisphere. Don't worry about strength and numbers. Just take the cash and go.
Later.
Let's get married. I hate you. Here's a house. Bye-bye. Now,
sensitive subject, mate.
Sorry, mate. Let's get on to the Mitre 10 Cup. This week, Tasman and Auckland. Auckland top of the table. Millsy.
Wow.
Your Orca Loafer back in the mix.
I said, didn't I? I like how they've just sort of gone about their business. They started like the game against Counties, which is first game of the season. It was a tight one, a close one, but they got that win. Then they've just built on that. Tunifars went down. Last week they destroyed the Mulus.
Oh, did they what?
Do you
know the Mulus are on a 10-game losing streak? That is their worst losing streak in 97 years of existence. That's not good.
They've got a relatively inexperienced side, though.
I realise that, mate, but it's no good for the mighty men of the Mulu. No, it's a proud province.
It's not.
They've got a Shield game this weekend, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Taking on Taranaki. They've got a game on Wednesday, followed by a Shield game on the weekend, right at the end of their storm. We saw what happened to the Taranaki against the Taniwha last week at the end of their storm. Ah, pity the fool. Although in nine Shield games between Taranaki and Waikato was the only side to successfully challenge for the Shield.
Yeah.
And they have done that the last two times. They have visited Yarrow Stadium, Millsy. There's hope. There's hope for the Mulu. They're going to need more cowbell. You're not confident, are you?
Oh, Taranaki, they haven't won away from home this year, but they've sort of almost...
Well, they did. They beat Counties.
Oh, yes, they did. Sorry, yes. But, I can't see the Mulus going there to Taranaki and winning. You know, I just think the forward pack... the Taranaki four. But yes, I think Angus Talvau is probably not going to be there because he's in All Black camp. Mm-hmm. But they've got a good eight. Very good.
When you can put a 6-2 split on the bench, Toa Halafihi comes on for Peter Gasawakula. Mitchell Croswell is playing the house down. Lachlan Boshier has not lost a step from Super Rugby. Jesse Parieti, who was unfortunately penalised late in that game against Northam, which cost them in the end. But
Riccatelli.
Yeah, well, Ricky had the weekend off, so he'll be back this weekend. But they are playing the house down. And can I just put in a vote here for Jared Hoyata as the best player to watch in the game right now? He is the niggliest human being ever put on God's green earth, Jared Hoyata.
He is, eh?
He single-handedly went after Tom Robinson against the Taniwha. It's the funniest thing. It was so funny to watch every chance possible. And then Jesse Parieti went for all-you-can-eat ribs, saw him on the ground and just, got on in there.
Oh, mate.
They're after him. Tom Robinson is a freak.
Yeah.
A freak. Wow.
He is, isn't he? And this is how great is this competition? When
I know.
This is why it's so good.
I know.
When you've seen guys like this emerge out of what basically nowhere.
Who knew Lolofi Junior Lolofi before Manawatu started playing this season, right? Here he is creaming it at fullback. Guys like Chase Tiatia we know about. Yeah. Mike Delaney we know about. Tanito we know. So many of these guys are familiar from Super Rugby. But it's all these blokes that just come out of the woodwork and you go, Where have you been?
Where? You know.
Where have you been?
Oh, it's great.
Massively.
It's fantastic. And you've also got to remember, you know, the schools as well. The first 15, and they got their finals this week as well.
And the Jock Hobbs under 19 starts this weekend as well. And before we go on the short ball today, Millsy, a nod to the Farah Palmer Cup. Started last weekend. One game televised each week. And I know if we put some pressure on Rugby Pass, we'll show that around Asia as well. But Tasman started the season with a big win over the Taranaki Field in their first year in the competition. Tasman pumped them, actually. Crystal Mays and Hayley Hutana, two armed services women, have gone down and are now based in the Muckle region, single-handedly holding their pack line together. They were sensational to watch. And it's a young team, but a fit team. Manawatu dusting up Auckland, scoring 44 points against the Storm. Unheard of.
I didn't think that was going to happen.
No, unheard of. Because the Storm are coming up against a team, it's a backline of Ferraris, and Manawatu just ate them alive in the backline. There's nothing wrong with the size and power of the four-pack. We always knew that about the Storm, but they have got to find some backline players who can keep up.
Oh, they have to, don't they? I mean, we spoke about it, what was it, last week or the week before, maybe on Team Talk, on Sky, the fact that the Storm perhaps start to get need to get their dominance back, and, gee, to go down, I'm like, That was unexpected, isn't it?
Toweling up.
Gee, Shorty will be happy.
Yeah, Shorty was happy, actually. Salika Winiata, friend of the show, she was right amongst it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she couldn't believe the scoreline either. Millsy, what's your game of the weekend?
Auckland-Tasman.
Auckland-Tasman?
Yep.
And who wins? I'm looking forward to this game. What a cracking Mitre 10 game this is.
This is really where you're going to see whether the Auckland boys can continue, you know, what they're doing. Especially, man, that's this Tasman team, hey. Wow.
Oh, it's deep.
They are stacked. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. So I'm looking forward to that game.
That's your game? Ellis, that's my game. You got one you're looking forward to this week?
Are the Warriors playing?
Yeah, the Warriors are playing. You into that one?
No, I'm actually going to 21st, so I'll just be out for the weekend. Out for the weekend.
How long's the 21st?
Nobody knows at this stage.
What time does it start?
At some point on Saturday.
Where is it?
Hamilton.
The Tron.
Whereabouts? Yes, the Tron.
Are you going to pop by?
Love a 21st.
I don't know.
You do know. You're just not telling us. Don't share it with the Rugby Pass Shortball Podcast audience.
I can't share it with the audience.
Why not? Well, we'll pop along. Male or female 21st?
Female.
Okay. Yardglass?
Probably.
Yeah?
She's pretty loose unit.
It is in Hamilton. I'll take a glass of water and you enjoy your 21st, producer Alice.
Thank you.
Millsy, enjoy that Tasman Auckland game.
Mm.
Will you be there?
Mm-mm.
I'll be there.
When is it?
Friday.
Oh, I might. Actually, no, I'm not, because I've got to go down to Nelson on Friday. Flights.
Day early.
Flights.
Burger culture. Change your life.
Really?
Yeah, Main Street.
I'll have to have a look at that.
I think you will.
Thank you very much, Simo.
It's been the Short Ball for another week. I'm Scotty, he's Mills, that's producer Ellis. Enjoy all the action over the weekend on rugbypass.com.